Welcome to Tori Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yecheskel, Perek Daled, Chapter 4. In our last parak, Chapter 3, we saw the continuation of Yecheskel's Nevoat Haktasha, his initiation prophecy, wherein Hashem gave a sort of Navi orientation programs. In other words, he appeared to Yecheskel and told him he will be a Navi. We know that Yecheskel is being tasked with speaking to the people and giving Nevoah. And as Hashem says to him, Amarta Alehim, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, you should say to them, so says Hashem. But we don't yet know what Hashem wants Yecheskel to actually say beyond that. We also know that his job is to be a tzofeh, a watchman. But we don't yet fully grasp what is expected from Yecheskel or what he'll be doing in practical terms, which is somewhat confusing for us, the reader, and probably confusing for Yecheskel himself. In this parak, Hashem still doesn't tell Yecheskel what to say to Bnei Yisrael, but he does give Yecheskel his first tasks as a Navi. These first tasks are in the form of symbolic actions, or ma'asim simliim. This parak details Yecheskel's first three actions, and more to follow in the next few parakim. A ma'ase simli is a highly evocative form of nevuah, in which the prophet actually does something. You may remember Yirmiyahu's yoke as an example, while also usually explaining the meaning behind the action. In this first ma'ase simli of Yecheskel, we are thrust into this world with Hashem's introduction of what Yecheskel is going to do. And Hashem starts in Pasuk Aleph, Va'ata ben Adam, kach lecha levena, v'natata ota lefanecha, v'chakuta alha ir, et Yerushalayim. Yecheskel is instructed to take a brick, or as Rashi explains, a tile, and put it before him, and inscribe onto it the city of Yerushalayim. And Rashi explains that this could actually be a very large tile, where Yecheskel has this diorama or a model of Yerushalayim. Around and against this tile, Yecheskel is instructed to build a siege, dirt mounds, battering rams, and iron pans that represent iron walls. In Psukim Dalet through Vav, Yecheskel's own visceral role in the siege against this picture of Yerushalayim is revealed. Pasuk Dalet, Va'ata shechav al tzidcha hasmali, v'samta et avon be Yisrael alav. Hashem says, lie down on your left side, and you are going to lay the sin of Bnei Israel on it, meaning on the city. Mispar hayamim asher tishkav alav tisat avonam. For the number of the days that you are going to lie on your side against this city, you shall bear their sin. So basically, what Hashem is telling Yecheskel is that he is going to be part of the siege against Yerushalayim. And for 390 days, says the Psukim, one day for each of the years of Bnei Israel's sin, Yecheskel will lie in a siege against this model city of Jerusalem. When the days, which is really over a year, passes, Yecheskel is instructed to turn to his right side and continue to lie in siege against the city for another 40 days and nights. Not only must Yecheskel act out this difficult scene, but Hashem ends the nevuah with the words in Pasuk Chet, verse 8, V'hine natati alecha et avutayim, I am going to lay bands on you, meaning I'm going to tie you up. V'lo tehafich mitzika el tzidcha el ad kalotcha yimei mitzorecha. You can't turn from one side to another until you've done the siege, meaning you have to stay on your left side and then stay on your right side for all of these days. Rashi and all the other commentators explain that these are not actual bands. It's not that Hashem is tying Yecheskel up, but rather Hashem is emphasizing to Yecheskel how he should regard this decree as if he were formed and tied up in ropes. That is how important it is that he do this. One can just imagine Yecheskel's horror at being told to stay in his house for over a year and act out this horrible scene against Jerusalem. Included in this is that Yecheskel is performing a certain type of theater, because this is something that needs to be done in front of people. So people will be coming in to watch him do this. But this all pales in comparison to the second sign, the second ma'ase simli that Yecheskel needs to do. And that is in Pasuk Tet, Va'ata, now you, Yecheskel, kach lecha chitin u'se'orin u'pul v'adashin v'dochan kusim, meaning you take wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, spelt, all these different kinds of grains, v'natata otam b'kli achad, and make them, put them all together into a vessel, mix them together, v'asita otam lecha lelechem, you're going to make them into a bread for yourself. And for these 390 days where you are acting out the siege, this will be what you eat. So now we also do understand, Yechezkel's not lying on the floor for 390 days. He also has to move around and cook his food, but that will be what he's doing most of the time. But for each of those 390 days that Yechezkel is participating in the siege, he is to eat this very particular bread made of ingredients that actually one would scrounge together if they were very poor. You may have encountered something called Ezekiel bread in Trader Joe's or another supermarket. It's made by the Food for Life company, and they actually tried to replicate this bread because of its health benefits, which, you know, now it's very in to eat bread made of sprouted grains. It actually even comes in all flavors, cinnamon raisin, sesame, you could get it in tortillas, low sodium. But Yechezkel, you have to realize, would not have thought of it like that. These ingredients are one that a person would have tried to avoid and eat only if they were too poor to find milled flour. And of this bread, Yechezkel is allowed to eat only a portion, 20 shekels of weight per day, and drink only a sixth part of a hin, which the Mefarshim think is about 6/10 of a liter of water, and that water he's supposed to ration out for himself throughout the day. So he's going to be rationing his bread, rationing his water. And then Hashem tells Yechezkel to do the most difficult part of his job in Pasuk Yud Bet V'ugat, so Orim Tochalna, you're going to eat these ingredients as if they were barley cakes, meaning that's just the way to form them. V'hi b'glalei te'at ha'adam te'ugena le'enehem. And you are going to use human excrement to form this bread in front of their eyes, meaning B'nai Israel are going to be there, they're going to be in your house watching you do this, and you will have to use human excrement, the heat that comes out of human excrement, to bake this bread and then eat it. The reason for this strange command comes in the next pasuk, Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Hashem, Kacha yochlu b'nei Yisrael lachmam, tamei b'goyim asher adicham sham. That's how b'nei Yisrael is going to eat their bread. It's going to be unclean among the nations where I will drive them out. With this explanation, we now understand the second Maaseh Simli. While the first one had Yechezkel play out Hashem's role in the siege, the second one, which is performed simultaneously, has him play out the role of b'nei Yisrael. Yechezkel, as Hashem, besieges the city, a task that is extremely uncomfortable to accomplish, both physically and emotionally, and it's a task that a person would never want to do. And at the same time, Yechezkel, who is symbolizing the nation, is suffering from that same siege. He's unable to locate or prepare enough food to feel full or to bake his bread with any dignity. It is this last directive, the baking of the bread over the excrement, that causes Yechezkel to jump out of his mute state and protest. Pasuk Yedal, verse 14, Va'omar, aha, Adoni Hashem. Hashem, ah, and this word, aha, is really a mark of extreme distress. Hinei nafshi lo metu ma'ah. I've never polluted, I've never made my soul tamei, v'nevilav, trefa lo achalti min urai, v'adata. I don't eat this type of meat that's unclean for that's tamei, a nevela, an animal that dies of itself, or a trefa, an animal that's torn up, and a basar pigul, a flesh that's abominable. I would never eat something like this. Yechezkel is upset because of another part of himself, and that is the part of himself that is a kohen. And we know that Yechezkel was a kohen, but he's a Kohen who tried to retain ritual purity all the time. Even, Yechezkel says, va'adata, until now. Meaning, even now, when I'm in Galut, when I'm in exile, I have maintained my purity. And now I'm being forced to eat food, while we know it's not technically ritually impure, it's symbolically impure. Food that's cooked over excrement is food that's impure. Hashem relents somewhat and allows Yechezkel instead to bake the bread over cow dung instead of human excrement. Yechezkel's profound discomfort in Perek Dalet is not just about the physical act of baking bread over dung, but about what this action represents for him personally, especially as a Kohen. As someone whose life was dedicated to the service of Hashem and to ritual purity, the idea of engaging in an act that he perceives as impure is deeply unsettling. For Kohen, maintaining a high level of ritual purity is central to their identity and to their service in the Beit HaMikdash. And this idea of defiling himself, even symbolically, by participating in something that's connected to impurity, stands in stark contrast for the role that he was trained for. Moreover, Hashem asking Yechezkel to engage willingly in an act that Yechezkel considers impure was also asking him to move a step away from his role, a step away from the Beit HaMikdash, a place that Yechezkel, as a Kohen, longed to return to. Lying on his side for over a year would be extremely uncomfortable. Acting out the degradation of Bnei Yisrael would likewise be difficult and sad. But doing an action that represented a Kohen engaging in Tumah, engaging in ritual impurity, was too much for Yechezkel to bear. But perhaps it is this part of the Ma'aseh Simli, of the symbolic action, that is actually the most important. In the beginning of the parak, Hashem told Yechezkel that the two Ma'asim Simliim, the two symbolic actions, will be Oti LeBeit Yisrael. It will be a sign for Beit Yisrael. Then as we find out what these signs are, we see that it is Yechezkel himself who will be the sign. He will be acting out this dramatic theater in his own home. He will have to invite all the people into his private domain, and they will witness his degradation. And again, we spoke about the purpose and the strength of a Ma'aseh Simli, that it really does impact people. The tension that Yechezkel feels in this perek as a Kohen, one whose goal is to join Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, and now comes into conflict with his other role as a prophet, whose purpose is to act out the distancing of Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, to be a sign of the distance and talk to them about the difficulties that they've done, and even perhaps Yechezkel, that there may be no repair. On the other hand, Yechezkel himself, all he is a Kohen. He represents repair. Perhaps it's not only becoming ritually impure that bothers Yechezkel, but the necessity to leave his role as a Kohen in order to perform his role as a Navi. A Navi who is an Oat, a Navi who himself is a sign, a Navi who will represent and foretell the terrible thing that has succumbed that cannot be avoided. And that brings us to Hashem's response. He does not rebuke Yechezkel for not agreeing to do this right away. Instead, Hashem changes the decree and allows Yechezkel either to ease into his role, or perhaps even, we can argue, to a certain extent, change his role. That telling Yechezkel, okay, you don't have to do that. You still have to use cow dung, but you don't have to use human excrement. Maybe the message to Yechezkel is, you know, maybe you can be a prophet that can somehow bring together in some way. You don't have to leave your role as a Kohen to be your role as a Navi. That maybe you can be a prophet who sees Bnei Yisrael sin and tries to actually get them to reconcile with Hashem. Again, it's a very underlying idea. The main idea of Yechezkel is really just to warn, but maybe this shift from human excrement to cow dung represents this idea that maybe Yechezkel can somehow bring these two roles together, and somebody who can reconcile Bnei Yisrael and Hashem through ritual, and at least if not now, then perhaps in the future during the rebuilding. So just to recap, while Yechezkel is still not told what to say to Bnei Yisrael, Perek Dalet thrusts us into this world of symbolic actions. Through the tile that is Yerushalayim lying on his side and the baking of the bread, Yechezkel becomes not just a mouthpiece for Hashem, but a living embodiment of his message. He spans the world of representing Hashem in the first side and representing Bnei Yisrael in the second. He lives as well between these two worlds of a Kohen and the world of a Navi. This unique and tense space is the one in which Yechezkel can perform his most difficult role that was explained to him in our last chapter, chapter 3, Tzofeh netaticha lebi Yisrael, you are a watchman. You will see the future of what will happen to Bnei Yisrael. V'shamati mipi davar, you will hear a word from my mouth, v'hizharta otam mimeni, and you will warn them of what is to come from me. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilo Nishmat, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Abraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.